This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So it is the 26th of March 2021. We are still in the pandemic of the very famous COVID-19. And we, inshallah ta'ala, will continue along in our class for tonight, inshallah. I know that we just finished praying Maghrib here in the masjid, so some of the brothers that were here, I think there was only one sister, so some of the brothers that were here are probably going to join as they get home. Salat al-Isha is at 9:15, so I will need to wrap up by then in case there's any questions or anything at the end, any sort of discussions or, you know, any conversations here on Clubhouse, because I am streaming on Clubhouse now as well. So I got it done today, and I know Brother Atif is probably going to get on to YouTube sometime soon and ask if I'm on Clubhouse, or he's just going to join there. But it is what it is, inshallah, and alhamdulillah, we are able to carry on teaching. I'm looking forward to the month of Ramadan. We finalized a few things with regards to Ramadan, which I will mention at the end of today's class. So if a few people could remind me of, you know, the couple things that I want to mention about the month of Ramadan afterwards, that would be great. We will carry on with our topic for now and open it up afterwards for some questions, inshallah. Bismillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah, amma ba'd. We left off when we were talking about backbiting, slander. We mentioned the times, or the six times, when it is permitted to backbite, right? Where backbiting would be permitted or would not technically be considered backbiting, okay? From those times are, actually, let's just see. You all are able to comment or chat. I would love for those who attended who can remember one time, right, out of the six, if you could just list that in the chat there, or more than one, times where it is considered permissible to backbite. So, hayya, bismillah. Type away. Time for you to do some revision in your mind. The worst type of student is the student that just attends. And we're not talking about attending a class. Like, these are the weekly classes. I'm not referring to this type of class or classroom setting and students. What I'm referring to is the students who are attending actual, you know, courses, regular classes. And if you're considering this a regular class, then bismillah, you should be taking notes. And I always encourage our students to take notes. You know, it's much, much easier to retain knowledge when you take those notes. If you can, great. If you can't use paper and a pencil, then use your device. If you can't use your device because you're on Instagram, well, then try to write things down afterwards, things that you might remember. And if you're just here to, you know, learn and benefit for the time being in the moment, then alhamdulillah, that's great as well, because we always are able to pick things up. So, hiya, let's see. All right, so someone mentioned when it is for the improvement of a person. Okay, so to encourage someone to do good. Very good. Over here it mentions only when you're praising someone, knowing they may not like praise. I don't remember if I mentioned that. The last type, yeah. Okay, so the last part that we were talking about, using a nickname, I think you're referring to. To ask for advice. Very good. So if you're asking someone for advice, or you're asking someone for their genuine advice on a specific matter. For example, someone's looking to get married to someone, and they come to you as a friend of that person, and they say, hey, you know what? I'm interested in marrying your friend or your brother or your sister. Can you tell me about them? Is there anything that I need to know about them, their personality, etc., that is concerning or alarming? When it's for the safety of a person, okay. When it's for the improvement of a person, mention that. Good. Complaining. Okay, so if we are going to complain to someone who's able to change that situation, very good. Alhamdulillah. So these things are coming up, and you all seem to have kept those pieces of information handy in your minds throughout the week, alhamdulillah. Not mentioning names. So yes, if you're going to speak about a situation that includes people, then don't mention their names. Very good. We also looked at six things to do when someone spreads rumors, and we won't go over that, inshallah, so we can jump right into our topic for today. Today we're starting off with, we're going to get into lying and telling lies. We'll start off with something very quick and sweet, inshallah. An-nahi عن التحديث بكل ما سمع. How it is discouraged Islamically, and we are warned about not spreading and saying or repeating everything that we heard. And that's because anytime someone speaks, right, the more they speak, the more they are prone to making a mistake. Okay, the more that a person says things, the more, you know, when a husband and wife are in a discussion, let's just call it a discussion, not an argument, they're in a discussion. The more you say, the more you put yourself at risk of, digging yourself deeper in your grave, right? You put yourself in a position sometimes where the more you say, the worse you're making it for yourself, okay? So here we're looking at how it is discouraged and advised that we don't speak too much. And that was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we do not speak too much. We say what's needed. And remember, we learned this in the previous chapters. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day, then say that which is good or remain silent. Don't say anything. And so at times it might be important for us to actually incorporate this sense of silence, or the ability to not say anything could be something that we try to do for ourselves on a regular basis, where we want to speak up, but you know what, I don't really need to say anything. You know, you want to share something, but hey, you know what, I don't really need to. And what I mean by that is not necessarily a important conversation, but it happens a lot online. When you're scrolling through Instagram and you see something that, you know, you just want to say something for no reason, you just want to share or express yourself. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not permissible to express yourself, but what we're saying here is that we should try to avoid saying too many things. So sometimes you say something and you offend another person. Sometimes you say something and you don't realize it at the time, but many years later, it might work against you. And that happens a lot when you do public speaking. Sometimes you say something in a certain context, and many years later, the way the world is and things have changed, you know, that statement of yours or class or, you know, teaching or whatever it is gets taken out of context, and then it ends up working against you. So this is something that we learn when we, you know, do a lot of public speaking. Try to avoid getting into certain topics that may at some point in time, work against you. And that doesn't mean that we don't address those topics. It just means pick and choose when you actually do address those topics. Some things are meant to be said publicly. Some things are meant to be said internationally. And a lot of things are not meant to be said internationally. And I'm not referring to anything specific or anything particular. What I mean is, for example, if we're going through Islamic principles and someone says, are we allowed to have, there's examples that I want to give, but see, this is a time when I'm picking and choosing wisely because I don't want to say something that opens up another can of worms or opens up something that people in certain regions will have issues with. So generally speaking, you know, if we're talking about the deen, for example, someone says, is it permissible to take a mortgage, right? Now, if we look at certain countries, if I'm delivering a lecture in a country where there is no Islamic banking and finance, there is no option for the Muslims, you know, my answer might be very different than the answer that I would give in another place where there are loads of why do you have to say that? SubhanAllah. I'm not even going to say it. I'm not even going to repeat it because only the people that are on Instagram will be able to see what you're saying. So, you know, a sister mentioned something else on Instagram, and I'm just going to leave it there as it is, right? So, there are certain topics that when you get into, it ends up causing problems for yourself you know, the laws of the land in one place are very different. I know when I was living in Malaysia, when we'd be asked questions about certain things, we can answer it based on the Malaysian context. But I know very well that if I was to answer that same question in Canada, I would answer it differently. That doesn't mean that the deen is different, and it doesn't mean that I'm changing the deen, right? What it means is, or spreading something different about it. No, it means that certain things can be applied in certain areas and certain lands because of the permissibility within that land, and certain things that are not, an absolute necessity for a Muslim to do, in other lands may not be something that is allowed or permitted to do, and we'll leave it at that. Okay, someone here is mentioning marriage and so on. You're referring to that. Alhamdulillah. Khair, let's move on. So let's take an example of the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is sufficient for a person who says everything that they hear to consider that a sin, right? So it is sinful for someone to continue to say everything that they hear from others. So you hear someone say something, you share it with someone else. You hear someone something, you share it with someone else. Basically here you're like the middle person who's spreading rumors, who's sharing tales with others, and you run the risk of saying something that is not true. You didn't verify that news. This happens a lot with social media and the technology that we use nowadays. You know, we share things with the world that we didn't verify. How many times do I get a message on WhatsApp about something? You know, every single day, even yesterday. I remember yesterday at night, I received something, to enter your name into a contest and stuff like that. And I knew right away by looking at the website that this is not something that is legit. And you should be careful with regards to putting your name and your information into these platforms or on these platforms and giving away your data. So we have to be very careful with what we receive. A lot of people on groups, this happens a lot with Instagram groups, right? A lot of people on Instagram, not Instagram groups, WhatsApp groups, they will receive a forwarded message. They'll not even look at the whole thing. Sometimes they won't even watch the whole thing because it's 2 minutes long, and 2 minutes is too long nowadays, right? So they'll receive it and be like, press it, oh, cool, and forward it to a whole bunch of other people without ever even watching it or verifying it. They might watch it, but they don't verify it. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that we are supposed to verify things before spreading them, right? Verify things before spreading it. Khair, let's move on. The next part that we're going to look at is a warning within Islam with regards to lying, telling lies. Al-kadhibu huwa al-akhbar bi-khilaf al-waqi'. Lying is spreading news or is telling news that is the opposite of reality. Right, is saying things that is not true. We know what lying is, right? So you're actually saying the opposite of reality. And it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned against, as well as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullaha wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, ittaqullah. Fear Allah, be mindful of Allah, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ And be from amongst those who are truthful. What this means is, the opposite of that is, do not be from amongst those who are considered liars. Don't lie. Okay? Don't share or spread tales, false tales, things that are not true. Okay? Someone saying that I'm talking too soft. If you're having an issue on Instagram hearing me, just let me know. And my wife is on there, so we'll see if she has a hard time hearing me. Actually, maybe that's a bad thing to ask my wife. She's probably like ignoring me anyways. Like, well, don't want to listen to him. I hear him all day when he's at home. I don't need to hear about him or from him when he's not home. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. Be from amongst those who are truthful. Okay, who are truthful. الصدق أمانة والكذب خيانة. You know, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was as-sadiq al-amin, okay, the truthful, the trustworthy one. That is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also see in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, where he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, truth leads to piety, and piety leads to Jannah. Truth leads to piety, and piety leads to Jannah. A man persists in speaking the truth until he is enrolled, his name is written down, with Allah as a truthful person. Falsehood leads to sin, and sin leads to the fire. And a person persists in telling lies until he is enrolled, his name is written down, as a liar. I'll say that again. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, truth leads to piety, and piety leads to Jannah. A man persists in speaking the truth until he is enrolled with Allah as a truthful person. Falsehood leads to sin, and sin leads to the fire, and a person persists in telling lies until he is enrolled as a liar. Therefore, meaning that person is enrolled as the people or from amongst the people of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. Another hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where he says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ayatul Munafiq thalath. Signs of a hypocrite are three. Okay, there are three signs of a hypocrite. Idha hadatha kadib. When they speak, they lie. And when they وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ. And when they make a promise, they break it. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. And when he is entrusted, he betrays his trust. So these are three signs. There are other signs, of course, but these are three signs that are mentioned here by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the hypocrite. What are they? Once again, the munafiq is the one who, when they speak, they tell lies. When they make a promise, they break the promise. And when they are entrusted with something, they betray the trust of that person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from hypocrisy. Ameen. There's also a very lengthy hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we covered in our fiqh class. So for those of you that attended it, we went through the entire hadith at length. Here I'm just going to pull out this part of the hadith, and this is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was relating a dream that he had. He used to sit with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and ask them about their dreams, and they would relate their dreams. Oh, last night I had this dream. Last night this person says I had that dream. So after Fajr, for example, you know, early in the morning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what did you dream about? And so people would tell their dreams to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would also share if he had a dream with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So one of the days the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I saw in my dream that these two people came and they took me on this journey, and we went and we saw this and we saw that. Basically, it's talking about the punishments of the grave. And so, actually, no, we didn't cover this in the fiqh class. It was another class that I was teaching. I completely forgot, right? A class that I did on the barzakh. Talking about the barzakh, the time of the barzakh, which is the phase between when we leave this world and when we are resurrected on the Day of Judgment. Okay, so that stage is called the barzakh. And from that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw in a dream the punishment of some of the people in their grave. And from amongst that, it's a fairly lengthy hadith, we will just focus on that part of the hadith. From amongst the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw was a man. فَإِذَا رَجُلٌ جَالِسٌ وَرَجُلٌ قَائِمٌ. So a man who's sitting down and another man who is standing up behind him. And in his hand is a hook. okay, a hook. And he takes the hook and he places it in his mouth and he rips from the side of his mouth to the back. And then he places it in his nose and he does the same thing. And then he places it in his eye and he does the same thing. I know some of you might say, my children are watching, why are you saying this? These are from the punishments of the grave. I'm not going into specific details. That's all that I'm going to mention about it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this. This is a reality. This is something that's real in the sense that it was a dream of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never say something from his own desires, his own, you know, will to just, okay, I'm saying this is from me, it's not from Allah. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is from wahi. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's divine. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is relating this to the Sahaba that I saw in my dream this man who's sitting down and another man who's standing behind him, and the man standing has a hook and he's doing this, right, to the person who's sitting down. And he asks the angels, right, that were with him, those that took him on this journey, who is this person that is being punished in this way? And so it is left until the end of the hadith. You fast forward to the end of the hadith when they're explaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream who these people are. And the person who is there having this done to their face is a kadhab, a liar, who used to speak and say things that were not true. This person was a liar and would speak, you know, falsehood, would say things that are not true, that are lies. And so the punishment in the grave of the person who does this thing, this action in this life, which is lying, someone who lies in this dunya, the punishment for that person in their grave is what we mentioned. And I'll leave it at that because you heard about it already. But an interesting thing to add on to that is that that instance will not happen only once, or that punishment will not happen only once. It will happen repeatedly, as is mentioned in the hadith, فَيُصْنَعُ بِهِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, that that will continue to happen to that person in their grave over and over and over. And in the hadith, it mentions one side of the face, then the other side of the face, and by the time that side is done, and this side is already back to its normal form, and that will continue to happen until the Day of Judgment. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and save us all from the punishments of the grave and allow us to be from amongst those who successfully, truthfully, well, we won't be able to lie in our grave, but who successfully answer the questions of the grave and pass that test. What is the worst lie? The worst lie that a person can tell. The worst lie, أعظم الكذب, is for a person to lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then for a person to lie about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is lying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The scholars say, فَيَكُونْ بِتَأْوِيلْ كَلَامِهِ وَتَفْسِيرِهِ بِلَا عِلْمٍ, that you speak about Allah or you do tafsir of his book, right? Without knowledge, okay? So basically, you are making tafsir of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge of it. You don't understand it, you haven't been taught it, you don't know the linguistics of it, and you don't know the shari'i or Islamic principles behind it. If that's the case, then we should refrain from talking about the Qur'an. That doesn't mean that we should not recite the Qur'an. That doesn't mean that we should not learn from the Qur'an. That does not mean that a person should, you know, put a barrier. And I'm saying this because I know in some cultures, and this is how many of us were brought up, we were taught that if you are not a scholar, you cannot read the books of tafsir. If you're not a scholar, you cannot read Sahih al-Bukhari. If you're not a scholar, you cannot read Imam Muslim's Sahih. These are the things that we were taught when we were young, being brought up with not many scholars around us to begin with. So to be safe, many of the people who didn't have much knowledge, who were sharing some of the knowledge they had in the Masajid when we were young, would say, it's best to avoid reading those books and read explanations that are simple and easy for us to understand because we don't have knowledge. The reasoning for that is that they didn't want us to do ta'wil, to come up with our own explanation of certain things. However, when you look at the sharh, the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, even that, some people till today that I know will stop someone who's not a scholar or hasn't spent years studying Islam, they will stop them from reading it. Well, if you're going to stop people from reading some of the most authentic and genuine texts about Islam, how do you expect people to learn Islam? You see, it contradicts itself. You know, how do you expect people to learn about Islam and to learn more about their deen? We're talking about Muslims learning more about Islam. If you tell them you can't read some of the most authentic, I won't say the most because nothing is more authentic than the Quran, but some of the most authentic texts that are out there that have been written and that have been scrutinized, that have been looked into and researched and examined and then preserved for the Muslims to benefit from, not allowing the Muslims to read from it is counterproductive. So, why did I start talking about this? Because we mentioned the worst type of lying is to lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to say things that we assume, for someone to make their own interpretation of the Quran and to say, you know, and we're not talking about someone who has knowledge. We're talking about someone who has no knowledge of Islam. They don't know the principles, right? They don't have even basic Arabic knowledge and understanding of the Arabic language. It makes it very difficult for someone. The sad thing is we live at a time that there are so many people who are putting up videos, who are translating things, who are doing tafsir, they're doing explanation of hadith and of Quran and so on. I will tell you, someone who I've spent personally a number of years internationally, that doesn't include the years that I've spent here locally studying before, as well as after returning from international countries. I've spent a total of 12 years internationally studying Islam, and I feel really scared when I have to teach Quran. I prefer teaching anything else than to teach the explanation of the Quran. And that's the honest, you know, truth about how I feel with regards to teaching the explanation of the Quran. What I'll do is I will look through the books of tafsir of the other scholars, and I will take from what they've said and I will share that, right? But to make your own interpretation of it, and this is sad because many, many people will come up with their own interpretations, or they will ask their friends, for example, hey, what do you think of this ayah? What do you think of that ayah? How does this verse make you feel? And then they'll compile all of that and say, some people feel this way about it, some people feel that way about it. Now, it's one thing for you and I to read the Quran and to say, I feel that this verse motivates me because of this and that and what's mentioned and how the story and so on. That's fine. Okay, that's okay. But to take that and publish it and put it somewhere, come up with videos and stuff like that, and then promote it to the rest of the world as this is the interpretation of this verse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide every single one of us and protect us. Many of the Sahaba, many of the scholars of the past, you know, they made dua against themselves should they say something that's wrong about the Quran. Yet nowadays we have people opening the translation of the Quran because they don't understand Arabic. They're reading the translation and saying, okay, this ayah means this because of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Some of the scholars would say, ittaqu tafsir, fa'innama huwa riwaya anillah. Be careful of doing tafsir because you are basically narrating something from Allah. You're narrating something from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not at His level. And so it's very, very difficult for the average Muslim to interpret and to understand things of the Quran to share with others. You can understand what you learn from, like I said. You recite the Quran, you read through the translation, what you feel, you know, affects you, encourages you. You feel blessed by it. You feel motivated by it, and so on, because of whatever reasons. Alhamdulillah, khair. Right? We're talking about the people that go out there and, as we mentioned, do what they do. With regards to lying about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay? With regards to lying about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that would be to say something about him that he either approved, disapproved of, he said, he did something, you know, that someone says he went and did this and stuff like that, right? To basically attribute something to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that isn't true. The person who lies about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has basically guaranteed or promised themselves a spot in paradise. No, not in paradise, in Jahannam, right? They've made a spot for them in Jahannam. The person who lies about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali radiallahu an, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تكذبوا علي فإنه من كذب علي فليلج النار. Ali radiallahu an said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not tell a lie against me, for whoever tells a lie against me, then he will surely enter hellfire. What does this mean specifically? What it means is a person is promising themselves a place in Jahannam when they say something intentionally that isn't true about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or something he did, or something he said, or something he approved, or something he disapproved, and so on. So for example, someone says, oh, don't you know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he did this and he did that? And it isn't true. Now, if this person heard it from someone else, someone of knowledge, someone who they respect, someone who they feel this person should have verified it, then that's different. The person who's conveying it assumes, but also considers the person who they learned from to be someone who's trustworthy and truthful and would share, you know, only that which is good and true and right from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're talking about the person who makes something up, or knows that something isn't true, or the scholars have said in their grading of a hadith that this hadith is not true, these actions are not true, this is false, this is fabricated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but someone says, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyways. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, there was a sheikh in Montreal. He was telling us, this was actually a sheikh that was visiting from abroad, and I was attending his classes there in Montreal during the summer when I was a student, and he was saying he went to a village in a country, and I won't say where. And in that village, there were not any learned people, right? So one of the brothers who knew some Arabic, okay, he knew some Arabic. He saw a book one day, and you know, the title of it was Al-Mawdu'at, right? And he's like, oh, it's topics, random topics, right? Random topics, Kitab Al-Mawdu'at. Mawdu' is like a topic, right? So Mawdu'at is the plural. And he's thinking to himself, okay, this is a book on various topics, hadith of various topics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this person, in his limited knowledge of Arabic and of Islam, and not having anyone in that village, you know, to teach him better or otherwise, he took this book. And for a couple of years, every Friday, he would make his khutbah about one of those hadith that is found in the book. Little did he know that in the sciences of hadith, when we say that a hadith is mawdu', that means that hadith is fabricated, It's not true. It's false. So this person was thinking, oh, I got these various topics of hadith that I'm going to be teaching. So every single week, he was teaching his entire village, the Muslims that are there, fabricated hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the people were listening to it every week and they were like, oh, this is amazing. And they were implementing those hadith in their lives. And the Shaykh was saying, when we went to this village and we went for Jum'ah and this person was delivering the khutbah, and we're like, where did you get this hadith from? So he brought them, you know, to his home and he showed them, this is the book that I use. And they're like, but this is a book that was compiled to show students of knowledge that all of these hadith fit that category or that classification of fabricated hadith. It's basically a book warning you, if you come across these hadith, know that these ones are fabricated. He didn't know that. He was teaching his people these hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon us. Was he intending to do bad? No. Okay, he was not intending to do bad. He didn't know. And there was no one else there, so he was trying. And this is why in cases like that, we should look towards what we know is authentic. And even better, stick to learning from the Quran, right? Learn from the Quran. There are stories in the Quran, there's lessons in the Quran, there are things there that we can learn from, that we can share. You know, there are so many things that we can implement in our lives from the stories that we find within the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all and protect us all from spreading that which is not true about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or saying that which is not true about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. Ameen. All right, let's move into the last part that we're going to take for today, and then we'll open it up for some questions. We're just very quickly going to look at three times where it is permissible Islamically to lie. Well, maybe we'll cover that next time. Right? I think we should do that. We'll cover that next time. No, I'm just joking. I'm just teasing all of you. We'll cover it today, inshallah. Like I said, we'll go over it very quickly. So three times when it is permitted to lie, okay? And we're not saying lie with the intent of deceit or the intention to be causing harm or to put someone in a difficult situation. So let's look at them. The first time is fil islah bayn an-nas. It is permissible to say something, you know, in order to bring two people together, in order to rectify, you know, a dispute or something that's happened between two people or two groups and so on. You know, you say something to basically incline their hearts to want to come together and to speak and discuss to each other or with each other that matter, and it gets resolved and rectified. Alhamdulillah, that's a time when it could be permissible. The second time is fil harb, in a battle, in, you know, if someone is captured or something, you know, revealing knowledge about the other side, you know, stuff like that is something that, I mean, these are rules of engagement, of course, but within Islam, you know, that's a time when it is, it could be permissible to lie. For example, if someone says, you know what, renounce your deen, okay, or we will kill you, then you can say, you know, it is permissible at that point in time if someone fears for their life, to say something with their tongue that their heart does not believe, okay? So that technically would be a lie, but your heart doesn't believe that, okay? You're saying it in order to protect your life, in order to save yourself. And the third time is, and this one is, be very careful with this one, my brothers and sisters, because I know when people hear this one, they're like, hey, this is it. This is my golden ticket to enjoyment in life, right? The third time is, when a husband and wife are communicating with each other, okay? And that is usually taken out of context, right? People start lying to their spouse, and they're like, oh, it's permissible for me to lie to my spouse. What? No, Islam is not Islam is not weak that way, okay? Islam is not weak that way. For example, you know, your wife asks you, you know, how do I look today? Or you come in and you're like, oh, you smell so beautiful. And you really don't like that perfume, right, that she's wearing. But you don't want to say that. You want to bring the hearts closer. You're like, oh, man, you smell so beautiful. Where'd you get that perfume? That's amazing. I love it. So nice, right? You're saying something to make the other person feel good, and it brings the two of you closer together. It's not permissible to lie all the time and generally in marriage, okay? And the scholars talk about this. Some of them say, no, it's not lying per se that it is permissible. It's to use a play on words, okay? It's getting interesting, eh? For example, you see, I can't give these examples because my wife is watching, and then she might use them against me, and I don't know because she's lying. For example, a wife buys something, and she knows that her husband will be upset if he finds out how much it was. So she purchases something, and he's like, he comes home and he sees it. It's like, how much did you spend on this now? It's her, it might even be her money. And she has every right to spend her money how she wants, right? As long as it's being spent on things that are permissible and so on. And so she may have spent her money on something, but she knows that he's going to get upset and be like, why are you wasting your money on that, right? Or why did you buy that? You should have let me buy that, okay? He comes home and he's like, oh, how much did this cost? I can't believe you spent money on that. Man, these things are so expensive. And she's like, don't worry, I got a deal. Is she lying? Well, she's just twisting it. She got it at a deal price. It might not even be a deal, but she considers it to be a deal, right? And for the sake of him calming down and just being like, really? Oh, mashallah, that's awesome. You go. You got it, man. Like, you know how to do these sales and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know how husbands like congratulate their spouses and stuff like that. I don't know, give them a hug and kiss and stuff like that. But subhanAllah, you know, just to say something like that where you're like, oh, I got it. I got a deal on it, right? Or, you know, they'll say something else about a different topic to avoid answering that question, right? Like, how much did you spend on this? Ooh, check this out. Look what it does, right? Did you know that this thing could do this? It's awesome. It's amazing, right? And starts like distracting him from it. And I'm going to stop there so my wife doesn't get any ideas. That's all that we're going to take for today, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allahu khayran wa barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We'll open it up for questions just for a few minutes, inshallah ta'ala. Yeah, so if anyone has any questions, feel free to type that in there, inshallah. Fake news phenomenon. Yes, there's definitely a fake hadith or a doubtful hadith phenomenon, and it travels fast. Yes, Muslims spread things way too fast. You know what? That's a problem with... Where'd it go? What happened? Oh, this person's raising their hand. All right, invite to speak.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to Clubhouse.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Jazakallahu khairan. What's up? Do you have a question or you just wanted to do that?
I just wanted to welcome you, and also are we going to be introducing Clubhouse on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that we're going to do all our classes on Clubhouse as well, inshallah. Someone's mentioning here, it's my wife, she's like, how does trust build in a relationship if you're able to do this? Trust and sincerity. Well, again, you don't do this always. And it's usually what I was taught from our teachers is that in a relationship between husband and wife, if there's conflict, then one of them could use like a play on words or could say something like this that would calm the other person down in order to avoid escalation of that conflict or dispute between the two of them. So it should not be used regularly. Okay. Remember, these are exceptional times when it could be permissible. It's not that it is permissible to always do this, because then you would take it completely out of context. Be like, oh, I'm going to see a friend. not going to see a friend, you're going somewhere else, right? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you know, and so on. So it's to be used only when trying to, for example, de-escalate a dispute or to avoid some sort of conflict. That's what I remember our teacher in Medina, you know, explaining to us, that this should not be something that gets taken out of control or used in any way, shape, or form. All right, no more questions. Good. Make sure you all make it here to the masjid for Salat al-Isha, which is at 9:15. And if you're in another city or another province or another country, make sure you don't miss your prayers by attending classes, right? Attending knowledge classes where you're seeking knowledge is not more important Islamically than your prayers. So don't miss your prayers, okay? What about when you're mending a relationship between two people? Yes, we mentioned that. That was the first thing that we mentioned, that it's permissible to do. Okay, it is permissible to, you know, say something that will bring the two parties together so that they can then have their conversation. Sometimes people are so stuck on one thing. No, he said this. He said this. He said this. I'm not going to speak to him. He said that, and khalas, you know, I'm never going to speak to him again. And that person says, no, I'm never going to forgive them, and so on. And then you say, hey, look, you know what? He said, if you're willing to speak to him, that's not how he feels and stuff like that. And you drop it, right? You try to basically bring these two people together so that they're going to talk and resolve the dispute and move on, inshallah. Khair, jazakumullahu khairan, barakallahu fikum, amin wa yakum, Sister Aisha. Allah yabarak fik, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family. Give my salam to the boys and the girls, and Yusuf as well. And we'll see all of you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu alaihi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.